a production of South Dakota Public Broadcasting.
Natural Resources Committee will come to order. Just a reminder for those of you that have cell phones or attending here the committee to turn them off. And welcome to our page here. Come on up and introduce yourself and the other page as well. And tell us what your plans are.
I'm Allison. I'm from Phillip. And I will be in the Navy starting June.
Wow. Navy. Go Navy.
My name is Shonda. I'm from Cologne, and next fall I'll attend SDSU to major in pharmacy and minor in business.
Good. Thank you. Yes. At this time, the chair will entertain a motion for approval of the minutes.
So moved.
Second. You know what? We probably should back up and do a roll call. Excuse me about that. I saw him trickling in. I was thinking we'd already done that. At this time, the secretary will call the roll.
Bagalka. Ferrix.
Here.
Frizzly.
Here.
Hansen. Rampelberg.
Here.
Roden.
Here.
Valley. Maher.
Here.
Krebs.
Here. A quorum is finally present. Okay. At this time, the chair will entertain a motion for approval of the minutes.
So moved. Second.
Moved by Roden, seconded by Senator Ferrix. All those in favor of the approval of minutes signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Minutes are so approved. Just a reminder, those that will be testifying today would please sign in at the back here. We have two bills on the agenda today, House Bill 1107 and House Bill 1198. We will take them in that order. At this time, I'll open up for public testimony on House Bill 1107, which is an act to revise certain provisions concerning the bonding authority of the South Dakota Conservancy District. Welcome.
Good morning, Madam Chair, members of the committee.
Good morning.
I'm happy to be in Senate Ag. Feels like an island of serenity and sanity today.
Well, you've come on a calm day. It's not all. Did you bring any props, by the way?
No,
we expect props in this committee.
I brought a glass of clean water, shouldn't I?
Yes.
There. Senator Maher has my prop for me. Thank you. I'm a Bernie Hanuff State Representative from Yankton, District 18, and House Bill 1107, I think, is a pretty simple bill. I guess that's up to you guys and gals. It's, rural water has been a huge success story for South Dakota. I think we all agree with that. We're a huge state of 77,000 square miles, and for much of our history, we had, real water issues, and still do, but we've really made great strides in providing good, clean drinking water and water for livestock and water for economic development across those 77,000 square miles. Been a huge success story for this legislature and for the state as a whole. And obviously, it's something that just needs to, we need to continue to be vigilant and do what we can to help our rural water districts to continue to provide those services and improve those services. House Bill 1107 is, I think, pretty simple bill. Right now, the rural water districts and water authorities, they can get their bonding authority through DENR for financing. And the statutes right now don't reflect refinancing. And we need to be specific, obviously, with interest rates where they are and everything. They also need to have the authority to not only finance, but to refinance. And there's Margo knows a lot more about this than I do. So with that, I think I'll just step down and let her explain it to you, and I'll stick around for questions.
Thank you, Representative Hanuff.
Further
proponent testimony to House Bill 1107. Good morning.
Good morning. Margo Northrup on behalf of the South Dakota Association of Rural Water Systems. Our organization is made up of rural water systems throughout South Dakota. It also includes water user districts and sanitary districts, which are political organizations of the state of South Dakota. And so this bill is specifically for those water user districts and sanitary districts. Although this is a really long bill, the change only affects line 5 through 9, which is the bonding authority under the Conservancy District. And so this would allow them to utilize that bonding authority for for refinancing for $8 million or less, in addition to the financing that they already do. We met with DNR last year and presented this problem, and we came up with a lot more complicated ways to fix the problem and ended up deciding that why don't we use what we have and just expand a program that we already have in place. And so that DNR was really helpful and thinks that this will be a good tool for us. I can stand by for any questions at the appropriate time.
Thank you, Margo. Further proponent testimony to House Bill 1107. Further proponent testimony to House Bill 1107. Seeing none, I will call for opponent testimony to House Bill 1107. Opponent testimony to House Bill 1107. See none, I will close and for no rebuttal. Is that all right, Representative Hunoff? We'll move then at this time to questions of the committee. Any questions of the committee?
Madam Chair.
Senator Valley.
And I apologize because I got laid out of another committee, but I do have a question. We're saying you can't right now refinance. You can finance, but not refinance. I thought when I read this last night that you could redo a loan. But is that what you're saying?
Yes, ma'am.
Margo, please restate your name and then clarify.
Thank you. Yes, Margo Northrup with the South Dakota Association of Rural Water Systems. The only thing that we're adding in this bill is the word or refinancing in line 8. And so it clarifies that in addition to financing, we can refinance projects. And our discussions with DNR early on didn't believe that we could use this particular bonding authority for refinancing.
Follow-up, Senator Valley? Thank you, Margo. Further questions of the committee? Further questions of the committee? Seeing none, I'll move to committee discussion and our action.
Sure.
Senator Roden.
Thank you. Move do pass.
Do pass motion by Senator Roden, seconded by Senator Frerichs. Comments on the do pass motion, Senator Roden. Any further comments on the do pass motion? Seeing none, there's a motion before you. It's a do pass motion on House Bill 1107. All those in favor will signify aye. Opposed, nay. The Secretary will call the roll.
Bogalka.
Aye.
Frerichs.
Aye.
Frizzly.
Aye.
Hansen. Rampelberg.
Aye.
Roden.
Aye.
Valley.
Aye.
Maher. Krebs.
Aye.
Aye.
Okay.
Aye.
House Bill 1107 receives a majority vote and will go to the Senate floor.
Madam Chair.
Mr. Senator Frizzly.
Would this qualify for consent?
You may move for consent if you would so choose. There's a motion for consent by Senator Frizzly, as seconded by Senator Valley. Any comments on the motion? If not, all those in favor of the consent motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? House Bill 1107 goes on consent. Next item on the agenda is House Bill 1198. It's an act to revise the definition of firearms to include certain antique muzzle-loading and black powder weapons in certain circumstances. At this time, we're getting a little feisty. We've had some really good committees, so we're getting a little restless towards the end, I can tell. Thank you, Representative Tonum. This time, I will call for proponent testimony to House Bill 1198.
Thank you, Ms. Chair. Tona Rosem, District 20, serving Aurora and Davidson counties. This bill is, in an effort to keep violent criminals felons convicted of violent crimes from carrying any kind of firearm. When initially we added black powder to the definition of firearm to include muzzle loaders, those who enjoy using and collecting antique firearms had concerns about changing the definition and impacting the antique firearm definition and how it relates to federal law. I've worked with an avid reenactor of olden times and the NRA to find a solution, and the result is a much cleaner bill and very clearly accomplishes the intent, which is not to allow convicted felons to possess firearms of any nature. So what you see, the 1198 TAs is the amended bill. As amended, it leaves antique firearms intact and in line with the federal law. This adds a section to 2214-15, which you have received, and to 22-14-15. 1.5 to include antique firearms, muzzle loaders, and black powder to the firearms included in the list of firearms that a violent crime conviction or certain drug-related convictions resulting in a Class 6 felony cannot possess. This does not apply to any person who was last discharged from prison, jail, probation, or parole more than 15 years prior to the commission of the principal offense. The definition of antique firearm includes replicas, which can be purchased at Cabela's. That
that's problematic in our area. To top it off, if you want to remove that serial number from even an antique firearm that's a new like firearm, you can do that legally. So that's kind of a problem for a convicted felon. Black powder muzzleloaders. Excuse me. I bypassed the influenza part, but I got the rest of it. Black powder muzzleloaders were once considered a primitive weapon, but new inline technology made these weapons very powerful and very accurate. You can actually make cartridges to fire rounds today. This does not change the ability to re-earn the right to possess a firearm after 15 years of a clean record. It does not change that part of the code. NRA is supportive of this amended bill. Game Fish and Parks I talked to be sure that it didn't affect the black powder sports season in any way. This is a constituent bill. South Dakota has a loophole for convicted felons. We're one of, I can't tell you how many states, but I think 37 have closed that loophole. So we need to keep this out of the hands of convicted felons. And if the committee would entertain it, I would actually consider having an emergency clause, have this amended to include emergency clause. We talked about that over on the House side, but after I amended the bill, I decided I'd wait until we got over here to see how everybody felt about the bill. I'll stand by for any questions.
Thank you, Representative Rosen. Further proponent testimony to House Bill 1198. Further proponent testimony to House Bill 1198. Seeing none, I'll open the floor for opponent testimony to House Bill 1198. Opponent testimony to House Bill 1198. Seeing none, I don't see a need for obviously rebuttal at this time, so I'll move into committee questions. Questions from the committee. Senator Roden and then Senator Rampelberg.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I was hoping that there would be some law enforcement agency here, somebody that to clear up, answer this question. And if you don't know it, that's fine. I wouldn't expect you to. But, you know, I've talked to law enforcement just recently about felony convictions and how that affects your right to carry a firearm. And it's my understanding, you know, I've got different points of view from different law enforcement, but isn't it true that in South Dakota you can be a convicted felon and get your right to carry a firearm back?
Back.
I mean, you can have a felony conviction and still have a right, maintain your right to carry a firearm.
If you go to 22-14, Madam Chair, mm-hmm. 22-14-15, you'll see there possession of firearm by one with a prior violent crime conviction or certain drug-related conviction, felony, 15-year period, no person has been convicted in the state or elsewhere of a crime, because they may possess or have control of a firearm. The problem that existed was firearm in the definition did not include antique firearm. And by definition, antique firearm also includes new manufactured antique firearms. The whole idea behind the antique firearm was goes back to pre-1899. And so today you can buy an antique fire or a replica of an antique firearm. So we have in code or statute that you can't carry a gun, but it didn't include antique firearm.
Yep.
And I will say, in our neck of the woods, the sheriff's department, the police department, the Game Fish and Parks is very aware of the fact that it's a loophole and we have a problem. Big problem.
Follow-up, Senator Roden. Further questions of the committee? Senator Rempelberg, sorry about that.
Oh, I'm so soon forgotten. My question, Representative, is the last two words in the bill here talks about fixed ammunition. Perhaps you could define that for me, because I'm not sure what that means.
I would if I could. Can I refer to the staff for that?
Tom?
I believe that comes from the federal definition, but I think that it means a cartridge, a firearms cartridge, and not something that goes in a muzzle loader or can't be used in a muzzle loader.
That's what I thought. I was just trying to stump the representative. So I'm kidding.
Good move.
Further questions of the committee? Representative Rodham from the chair, where was this bill you know, what, who brought this idea to you, or where did this come from?
This curious. Comes from a constituent who lives on the edge of Davison County, who happens to live next door to a gentleman who moved here. Gentleman, that would be a stretch. A fellow who moved here from California, and one would almost believe that he ferreted out what state he could go to, because he flaunts it. He lives on the edge of town, so he's pointed his gun at the neighbor who brought it to my attention. He's pointed his gun at another neighbor. He's been hauled in, but on his property, and he, what he does is pushes it right to the limit. He shouldn't be firing rounds as a convicted felon, as much as I can, from what I can understand, but the neighbor up above has heard him do it. So that's how it came to my attention. And then when I originally spoke with the Attorney General's office, I spoke with the Attorney General and two other attorneys in that office at great length, and they were actually looking for a clarification. I spoke with Game Fish and Parks, and they were appreciative of a clarification of antique firearms. So I kind of just included everybody all the way around the loop.
Thank you, Representative Rosen. Further questions of the committee? Seeing none, I'll move to committee discussion and or action.
Madam Chair, just if Representative Rosen would want that emergency clause in, when would you and where would, you know, I'd be willing to move that if I could, if she would want to designate where she wanted it and how to do it.
Tom?
I have an emergency clause.
Oh, you do? Okay.
It would be section, I'm sorry, it would go at the end of the bill. It would be section 2, whereas this act is necessary for the immediate preservation of public peace, health, or safety, an emergency is hereby declared to exist, et cetera. And then afterwards, it would need a title amendment.
At this time, there is a... I know we usually don't like to make preparatory remarks, but there's a motion before you for an amendment House Bill 1198 for the Amendment 1198-TB. That amendment is after line 9 on, of course, page 1. It says creates a new section. Section 2, it says, where act, this act is necessary for the immediate preservation of the public peace, health, and safety, and emergency is hereby declared to exist, and this act shall be in full force and effect from and after its passage and approval. I need a second on that motion for amendment, seconded by Senator Rampelberg. Let's move to comments on the motion to amend.
Madam Chair.
Comments on the motion to amend, Senator Frisley?
Just was wondering, is this going to complicate the bill as far as getting through
Senator Frisley, I think with the question as far as is it going to pass or not, it does occur when it's an emergency clause.
I was just
for here, you mean?
Yes.
I don't know if that necessarily be, but I think the bigger, you know, comment would be that it would be a 2/3 vote on the floor. It did pass out of the House Ag Committee 12-0 and the floor 67-0. This can significantly change it. I guess, you know, the comments that we should be discussing here is that, is it really worth it, you know, to...
What I'm wondering, that would require a 2/3 rather than a simple majority, correct?
Correct.
Okay.
On the floor.
Yes.
Madam Chair.
Senator Roden.
A further clarification, it would, as far as the process, it would require 2/3 in the Senate.
It
would have to go back for concurrence in the House, and it would also require a 2/3 vote for concurrence in the House. So it would lengthen the process considerably. So I would, if
comments from our prime sponsor.
I don't think it's a problem in the House to have the emergency clause because it was strongly suggested over there. But in an effort to streamline everything, I don't have a problem with going without and just going consent or whatever. That's fine, too. I mean, it's been going on for a long time, so makes it simpler. And we've got a lot of other bigger things, well, hopefully bigger things to do than that. So
a question from the chair. Was there a concern for a push for the emergency clause?
No, it really came from the committee in the House and then from several on the floor. It went through 67-0. So.
Thank you. All right. Thank you. Further comments on the motion to amend?
Can can I resend that motion? Or what would be the proper?
Yeah, well, it did get a second. I got a second over here by.
I withdraw a second.
Okay. So we have a withdrawal of the motion and the second for the motion to amend House Bill 1188 with 1198 TB, which is the emergency clause that has a motion has been rescinded. So we are at this time back to discussion and or action on House Bill 1198 as original form.
Madam Chair.
Senator Roden.
Move do pass.
Do pass motion, seconded by Senator Valley. Comments on the do pass motion?
Thank you, Madam Chair. You know, it's kind of interesting when I read this. In fact, just 20 minutes ago, I was having a conversation with a lobbyist who was telling me about going pheasant hunting with a group. And one of the members of the group had a felony. And he was hunting with a black powder shotgun because apparently he was aware of this loophole as well. So it was kind of interesting to me to find out that this was, because obviously the word is getting out, and so it's probably high time that we correct that loophole.
Further comments on the do pass motion? Further comments on the do-pass motion? Seeing none, the motion before you is a do-pass motion on House Bill 1198. All those in favor signify by saying aye. Opposed, nay. The Secretary will call the roll.
Magalka?
No.
Frerichs? Frisley?
Aye.
Hansen? Rampelberg?
Aye.
Roden?
Aye.
Valley?
Aye.
Maher?
Aye.
Krebs?
Aye.
House Bill 1198 receives the majority vote and will move to the Senate floor. That is our agenda day. I think that's one of the shortest ag committees we've had, and we.
You missed last week.
Oh, I guess my vice chair was more efficient last week. What are you saying? No, I'm just kidding. All right. At this time, a quick comment. We have our wonderful Aggies inviting us to a breakfast next week, Tuesday at 9 a.m. in room 464. That is where the House Ag meets. Now, I know, Senator Valley, do you have Judiciary Committee next week? Can you sneak out for breakfast? You can bring a plate back. And what we will have is we're doing it at 9, and, you know, that can carry into our 10 o'clock meeting. We do have just a very quick agenda on a Tuesday meeting. Since we're winding down our last week, we do have two appointments to the GFNP, William Cerny and Dwayne Sather to the GFNP, and that will be on our Tuesday schedule for our Ag Committee here in this room at 10 a.m. So we'll have the Ag Unity breakfast at 9 a.m. in 464. At this time, the Chair will entertain a motion to adjourn. Moved by Senator Valley, seconded by Senator Roden. All those in favor of adjournment signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Senate A.